Hey, Margie here. Our mental health really matters when it comes to our bones and overall health. And so often this piece of the puzzle is overlooked. Well, today we're going to focus on this with our very special guest, Dr. Christina Bjørndal. And Dr. Chris, as she's known, is a naturopathic doctor who uses her training in mind-body medicine when striving to address patients' mental health concerns. Having overcome many mental health challenges, which she'll tell us about, Dr. Chris is a gifted speaker and best-selling author. Her book, Beyond the Label, is a comprehensive guide to naturopathic medicine. She has written 4 books on mental health, as well as created 2 courses. And I'm a big fan of Dr. Chris. She was the very first guest on my podcast 4 years ago. And her information is just so heartwarming and powerful. And she takes us through a really great process in the interview. So make sure to stay tuned. Welcome to the Happy Bones, Happy Life podcast. I'm Margie Bissinger, a physical therapist and integrative health coach, and I'm your host and guide on our journey to discover the keys to stronger bones, natural approaches to osteoporosis and bone health, and the secrets to live your best life ever. From nutrition to stress reduction, from exercise to happiness, you will gain revolutionary insights from our leading experts. It is time for you to discover the health and happiness you deserve. Welcome, Dr. Chris. So happy to have you here on the podcast.
It's so great to be with you again. Thanks for having me.
You know, I just cannot believe that you were 4 years ago the first guest I had on this podcast. It's just, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it's hard to imagine, hey, that we've this doesn't feel like it's been 4 years.
Oh my gosh. But you know, it's so heartwarming to me because I loved what you spoke about. That's why I put you on as the first one, because the mind-body connection, without that, we're missing just, to me, the most important piece of healing. And now we can revisit this 4 years later. And you know, the podcast to me has just been so wonderful because so many lives have been changed. So it all started with you.
Well, it started with you. And you did it. Right.
I know, but you were, you know, it just makes me go back to those days. I was in a different room and I didn't really know what I was doing, but I knew I wanted to get messages out to the world. So it's all worked out. You know, before we even start, can we do a very mini version? Because people like to know, and you can go back and listen to that podcast, but people like to know, you know, why you're so passionate about the work you do, and maybe just give a very mini version of how you got to do what you did, because you weren't, you know, you didn't go into medicine right away. So,
yeah, I mean, the short version basically is I was sick and tired of being tired and sick. And so I was walking through the world wearing this mask on the outside that, hey, you know what, I've got it all together. But in the inside, I was really struggling with a lot of mental health labels. So, which are depression, anxiety. I had 3 suicide attempts, 6 psychotic events, which now gives me the label of bipolar disorder type 1. I spent a year of my life in psychiatric care when I add up all the hospital stays. And I mentioned, I really don't share this much with anyone, but I've also have had cancer. So stage 2 malignant melanoma. So basically through my own journey of sickness, I'm going to say, I ended up finding wellness in naturopathic medicine only after a suicide attempt, which left me in a coma with kidney failure. I was told I would need a kidney transplant. I was on dialysis. I was really, really unwell. And I can tell you, when I came out of that coma, I wasn't happy. I was not happy that I was still here. I was even more depressed, I think. And I had to figure out another way to navigate my journey. And it wasn't taking the 5 psychotropic meds that I was taking prior to that attempt. So I had to figure out another way to be here with you all on the planet. And my friend gave me a book to read. It was called A Return to Love by Marianne Williamson. And there's a quote in the book on surrender, which I won't go into because it's in the first podcast I think we did.
And I'm going to say it again. Most people aren't going to go back 4 years and listen to that. So no. Everyone now is dying to know what that quote is.
Okay, sure,
you can't leave us in the lurch here.
Hanging, right? Okay. So the quote is basically, surrender is not about breaking out of anything. It's a gentle melting into who you really are. So you take off your armor or you take off the mask and you discover that all God needs is just one sincere, surrendered moment when love matters more than anything and nothing else matters at all. The key word in that quote, well, what do you think the key word in that quote was for me?
Well, I think too. I think surrender and love. That's what I would say. And it's interesting today. This is very interesting. I don't usually wear this color. I'm a pink purple person. Something in my closet just was like red love. You just have to. Isn't that funny? I was thinking of you and it was like, no, no, no. The red shirt. You have to wear the red.
Yes, Sue. That's beautiful. So the word it was the word love. And so here's the thing. That was like a foreign concept to me. Love. Anyone who is wanting to not be here with you on the planet, they are the furthest from love that they're ever going to be, right? So that's really been the journey for me for the last, well, that was in 1994. So the last, I guess it's now 30, I can't do the math, 40, a long time since 1994 to 2024. And I've been on this path of reclaiming myself and learning to, learning how to heal physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And I made a career change and became a naturopathic doctor because I was reporting to a CEO. I was working in the corporate world and we could do a whole other podcast just about that. Being a young girl, young woman, you know, in my early 30s, working in a male dominated world where women weren't really welcome or wanted. So, yeah.
Wow. Thank goodness. I mean, it just goes. I always tell people there's blessings in disguise and sometimes your greatest challenges. And look, you've had so that, I mean, your challenges are really unbelievable. To many would be unsurmountable, but you took that. And then when you come out the other end, there's so many gifts. I mean, look what you created beyond the label, which this, love this book. It's just such a great book. But, you know, look at all the people you've helped and the wonderful work you've done, which it sounds like you would never have even gone into to be a naturopath had this all not happened. So it's just incredible how life works. Okay, so now that you've done all this amazing work in the world, what I want you to share with everybody, because you know, people really care about their bone health, my audience here, as well as their overall health. But you want to just talk about, you know, why you focus on mental health and why there is a connection. A lot of the people, I mean, it's really true. A lot of people, what I see is everybody cares about, you know, their exercise and their physical health. And if they're a little stressed, no big deal. Or if they have different issues going on, you know, people sort of put it in the closet and not worry about it. But why is this something when we're trying to improve our bones and overall health, we absolutely need to address? Why don't you share that with us?
So the other mental health condition that I don't think I said at the opening here was also that I had an eating disorder. So the reason that I think the mental, emotional, spiritual sort of mental health piece is so important and the connection with bone health is that what people don't realize is when you are depressed or you're not feeling great, the last thing that you're doing is caring for your body, let alone your bones, right? You're not getting out of bed. You're not interacting with the world. You're not social. So this in the long run, so yes, you'll get through the mental health crisis that you might be in. And that can last for some people a month. That could last decades. In my case, it was decades, almost two decades where I struggled. And so if you're not moving your body in that time frame, when the crucial period for building bone is really before the age of 35, 30. And so there's a connection there. And then you might get through this mental health crisis, but now we've missed this crucial window for building bone. It's not that you, and then, you know, then when we get to be say 60, 70, 80, we fall. And then all of a sudden, now we've got a problem. When that problem may have been prevented way back when, if we continue to treat our mental health just as important as understanding the connection between the mental and the physical. There's a connection there.
Yeah, absolutely. And what would you say is the most important, you know, we all want to have a positive attitude, but how would you describe that? Like, what is ideal? What are we trying to achieve with our mental health? Because a lot of people just think, you know, this is the way everybody's supposed to be. Like, what, you know, what are we really striving for here?
You know what? I think what we're striving for is authentic expression of our true selves. So when we go through our teenage years and our early adult days, we don't really know yet who we really are, what we stand for, what our beliefs are, what our values are. And I mean, ideally, yes, these are instilled in us and we have some sort of roadmap provided to us by the upbringing that we've been in. But the reality is many, many people are traumatized. Many people have lived with and in situations of some level of big T or little T trauma, which affects the psyche, which affects the emotional self, which makes some turbulence within. And then when you're walking through the world, it's really hard to navigate what is, you know, or differentiate between what's yours and what's the other person's. So for myself, I'm a recovering, another label I will give myself is a recovering people pleaser, overachiever, type A. Those individuals that identify with what I'm saying, those labels, those three labels, people pleaser, type A, overachiever, you want to look at what's driving that. And what's driving that in me is this level of trauma that stems actually from birth. In my case, I'm adopted. So sometimes you have to go really far back to that in utero experience to understand that this neuro-emotional wiring and imprinting starts in utero. And I have a hard time sharing that with people because women automatically go to this place of guilt. And I'm not saying it to have people feel guilty. I'm mentioning it because you can rewire all that. But if you don't understand where it starts, it's hard to know where to begin in your healing journey. So, and this takes time to unravel. So now I'm realizing as I'm talking, I've gone on a big tangent here. So you can reel me back in.
No, I think it's really important we dive into this because so many people live their lives and they just keep things suppressed. And it's sad because the quality of their life could be so much better, as well as their health. Let's really address this. What you have so many wonderful tools. And as I said, you know, it's such a perfect name for your story and everything beyond the label, because so many times you're labeled, oh, you have osteoporosis, or you have this, or you're bipolar. And that's just so sad because that's not who you are at all. But that's the way a lot of times things happen. So for everybody listening, like, what are some tools? Where could we start? Do you have anything we could even do now to just begin?
Yeah. So what I like to introduce and teach people is I call it the four R's of working with problematic thoughts and emotions. And it's basically the first step in all of this is to understand that there's essentially two voices within you. So a lot of people are living from the neck up and we have our brain up here and everyone is often focused on that. But we also have a heart that is whispering to us. So there's often a disconnect between these two, the mind and the heart. So this approach, basically, the first step is to recognize, what are you actually thinking? And is this thought serving you or sabotaging you? So other words we could use is it, does it hurt you or help you? Is it from the inner critic or the inner cheerleader? Is it based in fear or is it based in love? Is it coming from the ego or the soul? Those are all words that represent either sympathetic or parasympathetic. In scientific terms, those words represent the nervous system. Understand that your nervous system is running the show in your body. And you can only be on one side at a time. It's really important. So recognize, ask the question. It's like, we'll use this pen to represent a thought. You're going to take it out, you're going to look at it, and you're going to ask, is that helpful? Is it helpful to think that I hate myself? Absolutely not. So let's see if we can then drop that thought, go to the next step, which is refrain. And then we do that by relaxing into the breath. And I'll come back to that and we'll teach how to do that and speak to it further. And the fourth step is you want to repeat those first three steps over and over and over again. Because one of my pet peeves about the health industry is everyone is focused on eating great food and organic and this and that. But no one's really talking to people about the state in which you're in when you're eating the food. And if you're in a sympathetic state, i.e. chomp, chomp, swallow, eating on the run, eating when you're stressed, just shoveling it in because you got to get it in, you're not going to be fully digesting your food because you're in a sympathetic state. Digestion only happens when you're in a parasympathetic state. Another words for that that I haven't used would be stressed and relaxed. So we need to unite the mind and the body, and using the breath as the bridge. So the exercise we can do now, everybody listening, will get you to plant your feet on the ground, put your right hand on your belly button, your left hand on the heart. Now, I want to just explain the physiology here really quick. So remember, I just said everybody's living here from the neck up, discounting their body. Really, we should just have little knees under our chins and be walking around, you know, because everybody's not listening to the body. So when we connect with the body here, we're connecting the yin and yang side. So yang is the right side of the body, connecting that with your belly button. This is a yin area. This is when you were connected in the womb to your mother. So right hand down is the first and second chakras in Ayurvedic medicine, which have to do with your sense of rootedness, belonging, and security in the world. You're going to use your left hand and put that on your heart. This is the fourth chakra in Ayurvedic medicine. The left side of the body is the yin side of the body. In Chinese medicine, we say that's the healing side, has the healing energy. Fourth chakra is the meeting of the mind and the spirit. Illustrations, in addition to this, I want you to understand there is more serotonin receptors and a lot of neurotransmitter receptors between these two hands than there is in your brain. There is more electrical activity happening in your heart space than there is in your brain. I actually think that we're saying it all wrong when we're calling these things mental health conditions. I think they're a disconnection from the heart and the soul of who you are. Fourth thing I want to illustrate, or maybe it's whichever I can't remember what point I'm on now, but anyway, the next illustration I want to point out is that, remember how I said we're just living here? Many people are just breathing with the top little bits of your lungs, but your lungs go all the way down to your diaphragm. Now, your diaphragm is like a little umbrella, and it pulls down when your lungs inflate. But sitting underneath your diaphragm, above your kidneys, in your back here, is your adrenal gland. Your adrenal glands respond to the thoughts that you think. Understand, your thoughts create neuropeptides. Neuropeptides communicate with the glands in your body, like the adrenal gland, and signal it to produce a hormone. And the hormone is one of the hormones is called cortisol. Cortisol then feeds back up to our central nervous system operating center here in the brain and says, danger or safety, sympathetic or parasympathetic. So we have a little bit here of a chicken and an egg problem. Your thoughts affect your physiology. This is a field of work by Candace Pert and Bruce Lipton and Joe Dispenza and many others called psychoneuroimmunology. Big fancy word that means what I just said. Your thoughts affect your physiology. Your physiology, i.e. the hormones you produce, affect how you feel. So when we breathe, we need to engage that diaphragm to come down and tap and give a little bit of love to those adrenal glands that are freaking out because we're thinking about a lot of negative stuff. Okay? So when we breathe, that right hand's got to move. Now listen, I just mentioned I've had an eating disorder. Do you think that I've been engaging my diaphragm? No, because I've been walking around the world wanting everybody to think I'm a size 2 when I'm really a size 10. And that's what a lot of women do. We don't inflate our belly with breath. Why would we do that? Because we're going to look bigger than we are. And we need to get away from that. That's not helping anybody. Okay, so now we're still on this relaxed step. And we're going to take a deep breath. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at something in nature. So I'm just going to stare at, ideally in the office, what I do is we look outside at something in nature. We pick a tree, we pick a flower, something, a cloud, look at something in nature. So let's do that now. Just two deep breaths and see if your right hand is moving, if you can, while you're doing this deep breath. So breathing in through the nose. And again, breathing in. And then exhaling. Okay, great. So Marge, I'm just going to ask you, when you took those two deep breaths, Was there anything going on in your head?
It just felt relaxing. It always does.
Okay, nice.
And I use breath all the time because it's, you know, it's free and it's there. And I was one of those people, you know, as a physical therapist, you had to see so many people each day that you would like just, your goal for lunch was to get it in as quick as possible, you know, so you could get the next patient. So that's what I used to do. Now I, you know, it's been many years. But yes, I could so relate to everything you were saying.
Well, so what I want people to understand is the egoic mind, it's not that it's like bad. It's just that it's very busy. Okay. It's busy throwing off opinions, comments, suggestions, ideas, criticisms, judgments. And it's just a lot of activity. And when it's busy and loud, like, you know, in my case, the inner critic, or we can use the word the egoic mind, had a megaphone. And my soul or my spirit or my inner cheerleader was like afraid to even come in the room. So when you grow up with a bully in your brain like I did, because of the trauma that I've endured, it comes down to understanding that trauma is not what happened to you. It's the beliefs that you made as a result of the experience. So I formed a lot of beliefs, like a main one that resonates with a lot of people is I'm not X enough, good enough, smart enough, fast enough, pretty enough. I'm not X fill in the blank enough. And these limiting beliefs can serve you. Sure, they served me to be an overachiever, and that served me well until I burned out and paid a price for it and had 3 suicide attempts as a result. I'm striving, 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 right? And so at some point, we want to listen to the still small voice that lies within. And I love this Latin, the definition of inspiration. The Latin definition means to impart wisdom to a human soul. So if you can get in the gap, when you recognize the thought that's problematic for you, or perhaps the emotion, if you can just settle into the moment with the breath, with just 2 deep breaths like we just did, and then enter the next moment with asking yourself, what is good for me in this moment? Was something helpful? Let's bring in some compassion. What could be useful to say to myself? Kind. And step forward with that. And that is sort of the summary of this practice that I call the 4 R's. And it takes a lot of awareness and acknowledgement. And you're just... I want to be clear. I'm not saying to suppress your thoughts or repress your emotions. I'm just saying, let's bring some awareness. Because when you're suffering in your mental health, it's like a cloud has descended on you and you become one with the cloud. And I want you to understand that you're not the cloud, actually. You're the sky. And as the sky, you can hold all kinds of weather. There's going to be cloudy days and storms are going to roll through your life. But we want to develop the emotional intelligence and skills to be able to navigate these bumps because they're going to come and we don't need to fall apart because of that. But hopefully that makes some sense.
No, that makes a tremendous amount of sense from your clinical practice, though. You've been doing this for a very long time. What have you seen? Because, you know, this isn't what people come into you to see. Okay, let's get rid of let's deal with my repressed emotions. That's not something that they typically will come in with. And then you bring this. So what have you seen in terms of their health and their well-being once they deal with this piece of the puzzle?
I have seen nothing but restored health and well-being. I've seen people, actually, so on the bone perspective, I've seen people increase their bone density, which is something that we don't get told happens, actually, right? I've seen people move beyond the label just as I have, whichever that label may be, whether it's depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, anorexia, bulimia, you name it. So ultimately, these are parts of ourselves that are expressing themselves. And if we take bipolar disorder, for example, that's really just an unregulated nervous system swinging from full-on sympathetic, which can push us all the way into the heights of psychosis, all the way down to the depths and darkness of depression and suicidal ideation. I mean, that's the ultimate swing from the two poles. And we need to learn to not disown these aspects of ourselves, because I lived in fear of bipolar disorder, let me tell you. Not so much depression, but definitely psychosis. I really was living in a lot of fear about that. What if anybody finds out? What if they see? What if they know? oh my God, this is a dark thing. I can't tell anybody. Like, lived in a lot of shame. And it wasn't until I learned to lean into to loving these parts of myself that actually, you know, I haven't had that show up in my life for a long time. You know, a lot of people live in this state of, live in fear, essentially, you know, fear. If you've got MS, you live in fear. You got ALS, you live in fear. You got cancer, you live in fear, right? You live in fear.
I mean, this population with osteoporosis is terrified that they're going to fall, break a hip. And so fear is a very, very big emotion. And, yeah, you know, that really paralyzes people instead of being, you know, some of what we like to talk, what I like to help people with is, you know, use it as an opportunity to make all these wonderful changes in your life. But so often initially, that's not the thought process. The thought process is stop doing everything.
And that's right.
Your life comes to a standstill. So fear really immobilizes and is such a detrimental. What do you tell people with fear? Is there any, you know, is there something people can start with or, you know, when they're getting this fear?
Yeah. So with fear, there's kind of four states that we can be in with respect to that: fight, flight, freeze, and fawn. And so we want to understand is, again, it comes down to recognizing the thought, the limiting thought, like, I better not do that. Or, right? I can use my mom as a perfect example of this. She's 80. She is very limited in her mobility right now because she's terrified of falling. And the thing is, the more you limit yourself, then you stop doing it. And that old adage, right? You don't use it, you lose it. And then the irony is, now you might actually fall because you don't have any muscles to support you because you didn't build your strength. You didn't keep maintaining your muscle. So it's a catch-22 again. So what I would say is recognize that as a problematic thought. And just as you said, listen, what's a new thought that's an opportunity that we can use that would serve us better? How can I provide myself with some safety in the face of that fear? So what can I do to support myself? I said to my mom, let's get you walking sticks, give you a little bit more stability and confidence so you'll keep moving, right? And you got to get over the thoughts about, well, what if somebody sees me using those walking sticks? What are they going to think about me? Who cares? They're not even thinking about you, actually, you know? So our fear is huge. Our society has been split, in a sense, into the fear-based world. And then there's the world over here of love. And you got a choice. The choice is yours. But you can only be in one state at a time.
Yeah, that's a good part. It's sort of like a switch, right? When you turn one on, the other is turned off. So you can make that choice. And there's all sorts of tools to do that, which is just, you know, to me, this is the foundation. You know, it's why I also teach happiness. And it's such a big part because, you know, people don't realize, I mean, there's such, as you mentioned, with the cortisol, it reduces the ability of the osteoblast, the bone building cells. It increases the activity of the osteoclast cells that are breaking down bone. So it's a real big deal. And unfortunately, our world is very, people are very stressful. And I see people in the community, you know, stress level is very, very high. And, you know, it's not something that, well, everybody's stressed, no big deal. It is. And right, just like you're saying, look what you've done with your life and everybody else. You can turn this around. And that's
turn it around. I was just going to say, sorry, the other thing I just want to mention, just to tag on to what you're saying, is that cortisol increases inflammation, and inflammation drives what you were just talking about. So this inflammatory cascade, I mean, there's a real physiological connection to fear, right? We're not just talking woo-woo, you know, emotion. There's a physiological driver here. It's breaking down your body, that hormone, cortisol.
Hey, Margie here. High-quality supplements are a big part of a comprehensive osteoporosis program. To help you, I offer a significant discount every day in my supplement store through Fullscript. Fullscript has the most extensive catalog of professional-grade supplements and wellness products I've ever found. So all you need to do is go to tinyurl.com, that's tinyurl.com/supplements4less, and you'll get to my Fullscript store. And in there, you'll see my favorite bone building supplements. So make sure to check it out. And the link will also be in the show notes. So let's get back to the show. I want to make sure I address one part. I love this book. I mean, I think the book's great. But I just wanted you to mention one thing, because my favorite, it's funny, because when I went to get it on the shelf, I saw the piece of paper sticking up, and that was from my favorite chapter, Spirituality, Love, and Forgiveness. And we don't have to go into it now, but I've seen so much about you do a beautiful job in the book, but forgiveness is such an important piece. And so often I find hard for people, but when they incorporate that, right? I just seen, you know, as a physical therapist, I see muscles. All of a sudden I see muscle quality change. And yeah, it's pretty powerful. Yeah.
Well, actually, on that note, what I can do is there is a forgiveness meditation that I created. So I'll pass you that link, and you can also, you know, include that. So people, if they're interested, they can check out that meditation. It's really fun and eye-opening to do. So,
oh, great. So I'll make sure that's in the show notes, because that's what I've seen, is that forgiveness piece is something that, you know, there's no way I'm going to forgive that person. The wrong they did was so horrible. But the truth is, you know, at the good old saying, not forgiving is like taking poison and expecting the other person to die. And it's like living with a poison. And people don't realize how freeing it is once you take the next step. So, oh, that's great. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in terms of, you know, I just wanted to mention hormones, because you just talked about that the mental piece really affects our hormones, that really affects our bones. So you want to just shed a little more light on that aspect?
So if someone, say, is struggling with their mental health, we want to understand that there's three macro systems in your body. So you have your neurotransmitters, and often everyone's focused on neurotransmitters, but there's also your hormones, and there's your organs of detoxification as well, and your immune system. Now, the hormones, what's really important to understand from a mental health perspective is that every single hormone, if it's out of balance, so estrogen, progesterone, cortisol, DHEA, testosterone, thyroid hormone, you know, those are the top players. If they're out of balance, you're going to have mental health symptoms in every single one of those hormones. So it's always important to ask, when you started struggling with something, when did this begin? And if it began in menstruating, you know, the onset of menstruation, we definitely want to have hormones at the forefront of our mind as a key macro system that's probably out of alignment. Or if it began in the perimenopause, menopause time, we also want to take a look. It's one of my big pet peeves is a woman, say, in perimenopause, age 50, say, and now experiencing anxiety and depression for the first time in her life, she gets slapped on an SSRI. Like, no, let's look at her hormones, okay? Hormonal conditions are not diseases. They're just signs that you're out of balance hormonally. And stress drives a lot of this as well in terms of depleting hormones. In particular, there's a connection between progesterone and cortisol. So that's one piece from the mental health. But then from the bone health perspective, guess what declines in menopause? Estrogen and progesterone. Guess what helps with bone health? Estrogen primarily. And then guess what happens when we expect to happen, which we shouldn't, but we seem to, as we age, bone health declines. This doesn't need to happen. We need to reverse this whole consciousness and psyche around aging. It does not have to be this way. You can age well, so other people look forward to it. I'm 57. Margie's 65, I believe. Yeah. I mean, estrogen matters. This is what I'm going to say. And so your bone health is important, and it's got many factors that play a role in it, and your hormones play a role too. So you want to be supporting yourself. And there's different ways you can do that. There's sort of three levels of hormone therapy, if you will. There's herbs and homeopathics and nutraceuticals and lifestyle suggestions on the entry level, first level of the building, if you will. Second level is bioidentical. And then third level is synthetic, which I'm not advocating for that level. But the first two levels, I think it's really important to support yourself from perimenopause until the end of your life with your hormones in some way, shape, or form that serves you, and not just because you're managing hot flashes and night sweats.
Yeah, it's such a good point. And a lot of people miss that opportunity. I know what there's been so much, you know, so much bad press way back in terms of estrogen that, you know, that was like an absolute, everybody was taken off who was on, the generation sort of above me. And then it was something not even considered, but yet it really is protective for our bones. So I think things are changing a lot. And I think that piece of it, when someone is just entering, you know, perimenopause, that they can realize there's so much that can be done at that level to prevent bone loss.
At that time. Yeah. Yeah, at that time. And this is important too. It's individualized, right? Just because your buddy, your best friend's doing that, or we're talking about this right now, you got to be individualized for yourself, because there's only one you out there with your hormonal makeup, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's with everything. You know, what works for this person. And that's why this is not, when you know, with bone loss or anything, it's not, there's no quick fix. But when you look at individually what your needs are and then address them, guess what? Things improve, and you even get to a point you look back and feel that, wow, this was really a wonderful thing because you've done all these great things. So I want you also, before we end, though, there's so many more things, but I want you to tell people, I'm really excited, we were just talking beforehand, about your retreat. So tell people what's possible, because I know you offer all sorts of things, you know, when people want a reset and they want to start, you know, delving into some of the topics that you've talked about. So why don't you just tell people what you offer, and definitely talk about this retreat. It's sounding very exciting to me.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, there's a few ways to work with me if you're interested. So one is a mind, body, soul retreat. It happens in the fall. So October 18th to 20th is the dates for this year. It's in Canmore, Alberta, a beautiful setting in the Rocky Mountains and nature. So if you're somebody who is a recovering overachiever, people pleaser type, has had a hard time setting boundaries, is always saying yes when you really mean no, this is a time to really serve your soul, to really serve yourself, and give yourself a gift of some time and connection with like-hearted, loving, centered teachers and community with other participants, to just take some space for yourself to just be. And we talk about there's a lecture that I give, or more like, I shouldn't say lecture, it sounds very clinical, doesn't it? I mean more of a guided meditation that I teach around honoring your boundaries. And we talk about self-compassion and compassion inquiry. And it's really beautiful. And this is our fourth year. It's my fourth year teaching it, my third year with this particular group of teachers. So there's that. We're also taking it to Peru in 2025 in May. So that will be another opportunity. And that's just the retreat portion. If you're interested in working with me in a group setting, or even on your own to learn more about some of the concepts I've talked about, I've taken my book Beyond the Label and created a program online that you can do on your own, or you can do it guided with me. And we go through the 10 steps that are important to help you regain your mental health. So there's that. And then if you're a clinician listening, I also have a clinician's program as well, because it's really important to me that we approach our patient care not just from a physical perspective, but mental, emotional, and spiritual as well. And I find that there's a bit of a disconnect in medicine right now, that it's almost like, well, the psychologist's domain is the thoughts and the emotions, and the nutritionist's and the naturopathic doctor's domain is the physical level about nutrition. And then the psychiatrist prescribed the medication. But really, you're a holistic person. You know, within you is the mind, body, and spirit. And we need to look at you from that holistic perspective. So that's how I teach, what I like to teach doctors. So there's kind of those three streams. And then, of course, there's also just check out the book, because it's still lovely as well.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful book. And I couldn't agree with you more. It's so unfortunate that there is this disparity between, you know, the mind and the body, as though it's separate entities. And what you said, I'm trying to remember exactly, you know, where they're going to put you on the minute you seem stressed from menopause or whatever. The first thing they do is, you know, put you on an antidepressant. That's really, really sad. And that's really, you know, missing, in my mind as well, missing the boat. And, you know, so many people, we've never been on so many, you know, as a society, we've never been on, you know, women especially have never been on so many antidepressants. So there's another way. And when we integrate this, and this is what I've been a therapist for over 40 years, and I learned really early on how this piece people didn't heal in the sympathetic. They didn't. They had to incorporate the parasympathetic in everything you're talking about. And when they did, you know, recovery was just so very, very different. So early on, I saw that you can't separate. So that's why I love your work. And I think it's so important. And for everybody listening, you know, don't minimize this aspect. And when you do deal with it, oh my gosh, just like you said, everything, I mean, you're a walking example of this, quite honestly, but everything changes. And it's just, it's hard to believe, I think, until you've gone through it. And I like your analogy that you gave. And I always say, you know, you can ride the waves instead of being toppled over, but you had a really wonderful analogy there, how you can navigate life. What was that one again? It was just so good.
You don't have to be, you're not the cloud. And I know it's hard. Listen, I've spent a lot of time in darkness and depression, a lot of time. And I know it's very difficult to see through the dense cloud that you might be in. But if you can just lift that lens a little bit and understand that you're the sky, right? Or the other, I use that ocean analogy too, right? You're the ocean and the wave is the, you know, the wave can be the thought or the emotion, and it can be just a little wave or a tidal wave or a tsunami. But at the end of the day, it all falls back into you. You're the ocean holding it all.
Yeah. I love the sky and the cloud. That's just so, so true. So is there any last minute things? This has been so, I always love being with you. There's such a good energy, and you know, I'll have everything that you mentioned in the show notes for people, but is there any, and I'm excited about actually, I've done the forgiveness prayer that you have, and it's really fantastic. So I'm excited that you're sharing that with everybody. Is there any last minute things you want to leave with everyone?
Well, I guess a couple of things on that note, but the forgiveness one, I did that every week for quite a while because I was going through, anyway, so that's something that you can do repetitively. And number two, I would say that I read something recently that 1 in 3 teenage girls is struggling with their mental health. And so no matter what your stage of life, listening to this podcast, you know someone who's struggling. So please share this with them because they're not getting this message of hope and healing and possibility. And they need to hear this. I needed to hear it. And it took me 15 years. And like I said, a year of my life in psychiatric hospital care. And I never got the message of hope and healing when I was in the hospital. So it's, I'm not saying not to go to the hospital. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that healing is possible when you take a physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual approach to your health. So that's what I'll stop with. And I'll say, last thing, sorry. As that weather analogy that we were using with the cloud, and remember, I said you're the sky, but what I didn't say is that the sun is always shining.
Wow, and that's so appropriate today because today is
eclipse,
right? We're recording this. We're probably in an hour or so, we're going to have the solar eclipse in North America. So it's very funny. Yes, the sun is always shining. But anyway, well, thank you. It's been such a pleasure. And thank you for sharing all of your wisdom with all of us today.
Thank you, Margie.
I hope you enjoyed my interview with Dr. Chris as much as I did and now have a better understanding of why we need to address this mental health piece when it comes to our bones and overall health. And when we do, wonderful things can happen. Dr. Chris is giving us all sorts of great resources, so make sure to check them out in the show notes. And also make sure to check out the Happy Bones Club because part of that, once a month, we get together, the community, and we have a happiness workshop where we also address issues that affect your mental health and well-being. So besides learning about your bones, you can increase your happiness and reduce your stress. So it's a win-win situation. So thank you so much for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Thanks for listening to this episode. Be sure to get your free gift that includes the best posture exercises and stress reduction techniques for better bone health that you can do right now by clicking the link in the show notes or YouTube descriptions. Also, if you know someone with low bone density or osteoporosis, then please do them a favor and share this link to the show with them. Until next time, continue to live your best life ever. See you soon.